Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Thursday, November 12th, 2020.
Bitcoin smashed through 16,000. We're at 16,297, up 4% since yesterday. Ethereum is also up to 461, up about 0.5%. And Dash has been another big winner. They spiked today up to $90 on Coinbase before crashing back to $76, $77. So big movements. Everyone is pretty happy. Most things are going up. Ripple remains about the same as always.
Thank you as always to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that handles all your back office needs. With Bitwave, you can track DeFi investments, do token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Up first, $1 billion worth of Ethereum is about to be released into the DeFi market because on November 17th, Uniswap's first yield farming opportunity will end.
So this is really interesting. So when Uniswap, let's step back. The history of DEXs and AMMs is that Uniswap came out as one of the first ones. There was a couple others here and there, and there's been a lot of takes at this over the years. Everyone knew this was going to happen. It was just a matter of time of figuring out how to really do it well. Uniswap came out sort of interesting. SushiSwap, and then, you know, fast forward, that was, you know, I think it started really gaining traction like March of 2020, something like that. Let's call it like January, February, March, something in there. Around that same time was the emergence of DeFi and the emergence of governance tokens and reward tokens and yield farming, all this kind of stuff. So between March and November, where we are now, there was sort of this groundswell change where you went from it being okay to have a DeFi protocol that did not have a governance token with any sort of yield farming opportunities to it being utterly unacceptable. Uniswap is a bunch of smart people, so they were very on the ball with this. It probably was the biggest DeFi news of the year up to this point was when Uniswap announced that you could start doing staking and get their unit token when they launched a unit token. So that's the background here. Now, the interesting part is that when they structured this, what they did was they only set up yield farming for a particular time period. So they basically gave it something like 3 months, 2 or 3 months from the point at which they launched the token that you could do yield farming. And the idea was that people would come and they would actually the governance process would take over and the governance community itself would decide if they wanted to generate more uni or not. That's not what anyone else has really done. That's a pretty unique within the bigger, I mean, obviously like small dApps have done everything, every permutation of a yield farming contract you can imagine dApps have done. So but in terms of one of the bigger guys doing this, they were really this is a kind of unique. Everyone else is sort of looking at this as in terms of a, you know, long-term strategy. You will yield farm forever. You will always get rewards and then maybe the rewards will taper off at some point, but it's not something that would just end. So that's the background we end up in. A lot of the reason there is $1 billion in the four Uniswap pools, liquidity pools right now that cover the kind of the biggest pairs. So Weath to WBTC, Weath to USDC, I think there's a couple other ones. Doesn't matter. They're the four ones they do liquidity mining for. You can go look it up. So the assertion here is essentially that people were keeping liquidity in those pools primarily for the uni that they were getting rewarded. And that's probably true. The fees on these are not, you know, when you have $1 billion in something, there's no way that's essentially the way the fees work is the fees get divided proportionally amongst all the liquidity providers in a particular pool. So there is absolutely no way with $1 billion in there that people are making enough money on fees at 0.3%, you know, per trade to actually be making real money on this. And I can say, like, I have some money in a liquidity pool and just it's super fun, but like it's just not a ton of money. Now, there's other reasons you do it. Like, for instance, I like having exposure to Ethereum and Bitcoin in a single holding that you also then get the yield farming on top of. Like, that's pretty cool. So that's a great reason to be in the Weath WBTC Uniswap pool. But at a high level, the assertion this article is making, the assertion that the analysts that kind of back this is making is that there is, once you get rid of the yield farming there, there will be a mass exodus away from Uniswap. I'm not sure it'll be that dramatic. And I think it's not entirely the right way to say that this is going to see, you're going to see a glut of ETH on the market. So the implication with the clickbaity headline here was that there'll suddenly be a supply glut of ETH that will drive down prices across the board. That's kind of like what they were getting at. It was like, you'll suddenly have all this ETH that needs to go somewhere. And so you'll start to see prices for, you know, tokens and stuff like that go down as demand. Or I mean, maybe you see it go up. I don't know. I guess you would see the price of Ethereum perhaps go down because there's so much out there. But then you'd see like a drive towards all these different tokens and stuff like that. Maybe that's one way to look at it. I tend to think the people that are putting money in liquidity pools are doing it for the same reason as me, is that you have crypto and you want to make a little bit of a return on it. So you put in liquidity pools. So I think this is a great day for a lot of the other pools out there. Like Balancer is a great example. Balancer has good pools. They do yield farming. They give you rewards and they don't, for whatever reason Uniswap does it, they haven't set a hard cap on the date. So you'll probably see a lot of money moving to Balancer. You'll see money moving to, you know, Sushi and Mooney and all the other ones that are out there. I think it's super interesting. Like if I was Uniswap, I would not have let this happen. Like when I went into this 2 months ago, I absolutely did not think that we would get to the point where they would sunset their yield farming. I thought that would have been the very, very first proposal was for the next round of yield farming. And I didn't go and check today. Maybe there are some proposals for how to kick it off to the next level, but I'm very surprised that we're not, that they would actually let this happen to the point where like, maybe it actually won't happen. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Very interesting. So next, unfortunately, DeFi protocol Acropolis lost $2 million in DAI in an exploit this morning.
Yeah, this was another flash loan exploit. I mean, these are, you can't call these hacks. They are economic attacks. They're relying on the arbitrage opportunities within the system and people not coding proper defenses in. You know, I think that the easiest way to fix a lot of these is to basically disallow withdrawals and deposits within one transaction. So that would basically disallow the use of flash loans within these types of operations. We're going to keep seeing these lots and lots and lots and lots until like writing smart contracts. I've said this before, I will say it again. Writing smart contracts that are secure is incredibly difficult. Writing code that's secure is incredibly difficult. Writing smart contracts that you can't really update and that are already complicated is incredibly difficult. All these people, like these are a lot of like, you know, people writing these for fun, copying code they don't totally understand. Like we're going to see this over and over and over again until people get really savvy about it. And there's a lot of different ways to defend against flash loan attacks like this, economic attacks like this, and people just got to start doing it. But I think we're going to see, you know, 10 more this year alone on this kind of stuff.
That's too bad.
So word to the wise is like, look for the people who are taking measures against it and start to be aware of your exposure when you are using Oracle or remote backed. So if you're in a pool that has a backing of somewhere else, this was like the what was the attack last week? I know, I can't remember. Whatever. There was an attack last week. You know, they were being backed by a separate pool that was manipulable. It was a curve pool that was behind it. So if you have a protocol that is backed by another protocol, those will tend to be very manipulable in those and economic attack incentives. So just be careful when you're using these proxy pools that are on top of other pools.
Yep. Good advice. All right. Next, you can now carry exposure to the world of oil markets in your DeFi portfolio. That's because the listing of the Brent crude futures will be on synthetics.
Yeah, so this is cool. I mean, synthetics is a market for doing contracts, essentially, for doing like options and other sort of derivative type contracts. What they rely on there being an oracle for you to actually settle it. And Chainlink recently, within the last month or so, pushed out the Brent crude future Oracle. So now synthetics can write to it. This is cool. I mean, you know, essentially, like I guess what's going to happen here, like it's kind of funny and I hate this in some ways, but I think it's great in other ways. Before we see a serious blockchain stock exchange, which I would love to see, like a U.S. stock exchange, like a stock exchange where I could go and buy Apple using Bitcoin on a Uniswap style market. Before we see that, we're going to see we're going to start to see Chainlink pumping basically every ticker symbol into oracles on the oracles on the blockchain, and then you're going to start to see synthetics doing derivatives around it, and then you can essentially, there will be a shadow market stock market that exists on top of the regular stock market that doesn't actually imply any ownership of the stocks. It just has the derivatives piece, the betting piece of it. And honestly, that's fine. I mean, most people, like, you look at Wall Street Bets, most people like betting on the stocks. They don't really care about the governance piece of owning a piece of the company. And most of the stocks anyways, that doesn't matter. Like Facebook, it don't matter if you own part of the company. Mark Zuckerberg controls it. So we're going to see, like, essentially shadow stock markets starting to pop up as more and more things get tokenized into the market. So
great.
Oracleized.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one, everybody.